But what is harvest? What is harvest? Just go back to something. I was really so pleased that John spoke this morning, because that's sort of brought together a lot of... I was going to have a chat with you before anyway, John, before I knew you were going to talk, because I thought, you know, there's an expert, and I'm a bit out of touch, really. But as John said, we first met on a farm when I was very much involved in harvest. And I suppose, originally, I mean, we talk about a combine, don't we? A massive machine that goes around the world. And maybe sometimes we forget that it stands for combined harvester, because it combines four processes of harvest. So you've got the cutting, the binding, the gathering, and the thrashing. Is that right, John? Four processes combined into one, in order that the grain might be brought to the safe place. Okay, keep that in mind. The whole objective is that the grain might be brought to a place where what can happen. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to break into the middle of this amazing chapter, which is headed in my Bible, Invitation to the Thirsty. But we're going to break into it at verse 10. Verse 10 of chapter 55 of the book of the prophet Isaiah. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. What an amazing description of the purpose of the harvest. But linked with it, what can be either the blessing or the curse is the rain. And the rain coming at the right or the wrong time. And so with the harvest, timing is absolutely critical. Not just for the harvest itself, but for the earlier, for the planting, as John has already mentioned, and for the swelling of the grain before the harvest. But at the harvest time itself, you don't really want the rain. And the critical time, we're going to turn over now to a little few verses from John's Gospel, chapter 4. And Jesus has been just talking to the woman at the well, and I'm sure that most of that is familiar to us, and I've almost lived in this chapter for a few months. But we're going to just read a little part from it, and that is from verse 31, when he's been talking to the woman and she's just about to go back, and the disciples have just turned up. Verse 31 of John chapter 4. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." And the Lord will bless his precious word to our hearts. Precious word like seed falling into the good ground. So the theme of harvest is all through the scriptures. I really had to hold myself back because there were so many scriptures I wanted to read this morning. But I want to really just talk about one little aspect of harvest. And that is the critical timing. When I was working on the farm, my boss used to say, when the farmer thinks that he's itching to get on and harvest his fields, he ought to take a fortnight's holiday. I never know whether that was good or bad advice, but that's what he used to say. Because it's a massive debate, what's the weather going to be like? Will it be a little bit too soon or a little bit too late? And the book of Revelation talks about two different sorts of harvest. You know that, do you? Two completely different harvests. The harvest, the earth being harvested by the shining one who sits on the cloud. But also it talks about the grape harvest, where the wickedness on the earth, like the grapes of wickedness, are harvested and put into the winepress of the wrath of God. So two completely different aspects of harvest, and we're not going to go into too much of that this morning, but just to say that harvest is hard work. And it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. And I'm thinking in my mind, I've been talking the last few weeks with somebody who's done a lot of research on revivals in this country, and saying that there's one thing that she found common amongst many of the revivals that had happened. And that was the faithfulness of the people who had prayed beforehand. And Sharon's already spoken about prayer. And, prayer is work. I don't know whether you realise that. But the Lord calls you to work in order that the harvest, that it might open our eyes as to where the harvest is. the Lord Jesus was saying to the disciples, you know, you think it's another few months to come. It's always in the future. But he says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're already ripe to harvest. So it seems that largely there was not a discerning of the time. You know, another time Jesus said, you know how to discern the signs in the heavens. You know if it's a red sky in the evening, you know that it's going to be a fine day tomorrow. Or if it's a red sky in the morning, you know that it's going to be a rough day. But you don't know how to discern this time. And what was this time he was referring to? It was the Son of God amongst them, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't discern the time. And it's a bit like that with discerning the time of harvest. Because, you know, take apples, for example. When you're harvesting apples, at the right time, they need just a little jerk to get them off the tree. Okay? You give them a jerk at the wrong time and you'll do damage. But at the right time, they do need that little jerk to get them off the tree, because you don't want them to fall off, because then they'll do damage. It's like the grain falling out when, you know, what a tragedy. And this links with what John was saying, you know, trees with loads of fruit on and nobody to pick them. And it just gets dropped off and wasted. And friends, there are people all around you who are, they don't realize it, but they're desperate to know about Jesus. And we think, oh no, they're not interested. Our eyes need to be open to see the possibilities, to see the harvest that's there. Not in another country, although it might be that, but all around you. Well, you say, it's not like that. People around me aren't like that. We need our eyes open, friends. The Lord has put us, when I say us, there's a sort of a group of us who visit ships, and it's just amazing the harvest that is there, that people are being stirred up inside. Lots of people, even in our generation, are fed up with materialism because it doesn't hit the spot. It doesn't answer the deep longings that God has put in the hearts of all people for something deeper, which can only be answered by the Lord Jesus. And we need that kind of revelation, because the enemy will blind our eyes to say, no, they'll never respond to the gospel, so I won't bother telling them. You know, and that's so often, I've put that into words, and it's uncomfortable even for me when I say that, because I know it kind of, that's me. I look at somebody and I say, that person will never come to Jesus because, well, I know what they're like. And sometimes, you know, we think we know, and we don't. God needs to touch our hearts. And how can it be so... I really wanted to talk today, but it's probably not time. But I've also been reading a lot in the book of Ruth, which of course is all about harvest, but the barley harvest. And it's clearly hard work. And you look and see how Ruth, she goes and gleans in the field, and she's commended for work starting early in the day and not resting through. And I think back to harvest time when we worked, you know, all hours because it needed to be brought in. There's that critical time slot where it's a time of opportunity. And Paul says to the Corinthians, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Friends, it's still the day of God's grace. And we might say on the outside, maybe people don't appear to be interested. Keep praying. Keep praying. And not just praying, but prayers of faith. Look to the Lord to give you fresh opportunities to share the love of Christ in surprising ways. Your neighbours, those you work with, you know, when the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples, and yes, we were going to read that. Let's just have a look at it at the beginning of Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He didn't ask them at this point to send out sowers. And this sort of challenged me the other day. Because we think of, when we go on the ships, you know, we think, well, okay, you know, we're sowing the seed, we won't perhaps see much result. But what about the reaping? And actually, when you go with that expectation of people opening their hearts to Jesus, and in prayer of faith, then by God's grace it happens. And we can bear witness to that. Of many seafarers have come to the Lord the last year or two. And why is that? It's because of God's grace, of course. But we've been stirred up to pray and to seek the Lord and to have our faith stirred up and challenged, because the days are short, and I believe that there is a harvest to be reaped now, and we're short of reapers. Why? Well, you know, the book of Haggai is quite a challenge, where the people said, well, it's just not the time to build the Lord's house. But we'll make our own houses comfortable and so on, because it's, yes, you know, the Lord's house will be rebuilt, but now's not the time. And they hadn't discerned the time, and Haggai was sent to stir them up, which he did. And they said, well, you know, we've tried before and the authorities stopped us. And the work on the Lord's house had stopped, you remember, because of opposition. But, you know, opposition to the gospel actually has the opposite effect. And Haggai was sent to stir the people up, because it wasn't the time to build their own houses and neglect the house of the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus is building his church. He is the one who's responsible. What's happening? You know, we need to get a fresh vision of the bride of Christ. Things seem so outwardly broken. Ask the Lord to give you a fresh vision of what the church really is. And when I say the church, I don't mean a building. I mean people who are going to be for Jesus eternally. Yes, we're talking about eternal issues. These are massive things. It's people coming from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God and finding a place where they're sanctified through the precious blood of Jesus and lives transformed as a result. You know, these things are real, and we really, it's on my heart that we might all be stirred up. And bear in mind that I'm talking to myself as much as you, so, you know, don't think that I come from a place of, just because I'm standing at the front, it doesn't mean that the Lord isn't speaking to me as well as you. Okay, so Where have we got to? Well, yes, just, I think that's probably about enough. But, sorry, these are just random sort of thoughts. But just to go back to the harvest, the cutting, the binding, thrashing, the cutting, the binding, the gathering and the thrashing. All to bring the grain to a safe place. And, you know, that's often the process of God's work in the soul. You know, first of all, there's the cutting just at the right time. The grain is cut. Its source of life is cut off. And you think, what's happening? And then you find that it's actually bound together with other like grains and carried to a place where it can first of all mature, but then go through the thrashing process. You know, the original thrashing was like a sledge that was dragged over the grain to separate the wheat from the chaff and the fans to blow the chaff away. But the this thrashing sledge in the Latin, I guess, was called a tribulone, from which we get our modern word tribulation. And it is the tribulation and the trouble that comes to you after you've accepted the Lord that starts to separate the wheat from the chaff, and you discover what's really real, which is the wheat, the kernel, and the chaff gets blown away in the process, and that's the thrashing, and it seems kind of a painful process, but the result of it is very precious. John the Baptist's word about Jesus: he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. He'll gather the wheat into his barns, but the chaff he'll burn with unquenchable fire. You see, there needs to be that separation in our own hearts between what is of God and what is just of the flesh, and what is precious to the Lord, so that what is precious to him may be gathered to the safe place, and that we may know the amazing peace and joy that going back to Isaiah that he speaks about, you'll go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. What a prospect. What an amazing prospect that God has put before us all. And you get a little touch of it with the joy of harvest, when everything is safely in, and you can say like John, you know, well, we've had an amazing harvest because somehow things have worked out right. It's not always like that. But there's still, bear in mind, so the prayer, the intercession, the opening of our eyes to see, the just going for it, the hard work, and the glory to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we long for the time when the Lord Jesus will have everything, when he'll really come for his bride, and that she will be ready at that assembling shout. Blessed Father, help us to be making ready, that we might know what it is to be part of that great harvest. For your honour, praise and glory, we We give you thanks, blessed Father, in our Saviour's most wonderful and most precious name. Amen. Thank you.